This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Writer Anna Quindlen started her career as a reporter for the New York Post. She then moved to the New York Times and quickly became one of the newspaper's only female columnists. She won a Pulitzer Prize for her commentary in 1992, but she's always looking for an opportunity to pursue her lifelong dream, which is to be a novelist. She eventually left the Times to write fiction full-time and since has published seven novels. Her latest follows an aging photographer struggling with her own identity as her fame fades and money runs out. Anna Quindlen will read from the novel Still Life with Breadcrumbs at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh on November 5th. She's going to be at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill on the 6th, and she's with us now on the State of Things. Anna Quindlen, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank, and thank you for accommodating non-election coverage today.
You are such a breath of fresh air.
But at the same time, it was really interesting to listen to your past guests talking about what's going on in North Carolina, where I'm actually going to be spending election night.
Oh, wow. Well, it's going to be an exciting night here. Lots of interesting things going on and fascinating things that happen in the pages of this book, Still Life with Breadcrumbs. To me, this is a real turn for you in your fiction in a lot of ways. I mean, we have in this book an artist looking back at her career and in a very reflective way. This novel has a different cadence, a different feel from your other novels. Am I fair in reading it that way? Am I right?
Well, certainly the critics seem to have suggested that in the reviews. I feel a little bit as though with each successive novel, I've tried to do something a little different. I like to get out of my comfort zone and challenge myself, entertain myself, quite frankly. And I did find a voice and a way of looking at the world here that was quite different than anything I'd done before. And I must say, felt a little bit as though I'd taken everything that I'd learned about fiction writing and put it into this book.
Well, I want to stay right there because I'm always fascinated at this element in the creative process. And the one that you just described, a writer looking for a way to be different, being very mindful of that. Was this sort of setting up a panel, a kind of matrix of things that are different in Anna Quindlen's writing career and then picking one? Or did something, did by rejecting the old formulas for you, if there ever was one, and I don't think there ever was one, but in rejecting the ideas that seemed too comfortable to you, one of them just sort of occurred to you in a flash and said, oh my goodness, I never done that before.
It actually was a little different than that, Frank. The novel before this, Every Last One, was a novel that I was very satisfied with, but it was extremely dark, about as dark as I think I can go and still take nourishment every day like a normal person. And as I was finishing it, I thought, I want to do something completely different next time. I want to write a love story, which I've never done before, and I want to write a novel with a happy ending.
Wow.
And those two things initially powered me, but as I began the book, I realized that after six novels, I'd lost patience a little bit with the conventions of the novel. The idea that backstory seamlessly fits into front story, that you have to cover everything with prose, as opposed to leave empty spaces, or in this case, chapter headings. And so I developed this kind of overarching voice of God kind of narrator who knows everything, who shorthands some things, and who separates out the backstory so that there are discrete chapters that basically say, this is what happened up until this point, in a way that I think reflects my loss of patience with right. The usual conventions of the novel.
Well, it is true that some of our own backstory comes to us in a flash only when it's necessary and only when it's relevant and not as necessarily chronological history. Let's talk a little bit. And in that way, I think much more reflects how we really live our lives versus how novelists write their books. Talk about Rebecca now, the principal character in your book.
Rebecca is 60 years old, and she is a born and raised New Yorker. She has become quite well known as a photographer, but for work that she did many years before, and most specifically for one photograph, a photograph which, in fact, she named Still Life with Breadcrumbs, and which was a photograph of her kitchen counter after a big dinner party before it was cleaned up. Other people, critics, viewers, collectors, decided that this was some kind of feminist commentary in a way that, quite frankly, never occurred to her when she was taking the picture or when she exhibited the picture. And so it wound up on posters and postcards and talked about and written about and the like. And that kind of notoriety means that people recognize her name and recognize her work all the time. Unfortunately, as some people who live in New York City know, it's easy to maintain that notoriety. It's very difficult to make it pay after a while. You know, there are people who are famous for one novel that they wrote 30 years ago or one great painting, who can't pay the rent with that. And that's the moment at which we meet Rebecca, when she has left the city for a rental out in the middle of nowhere in the country, in part because money-wise, she is up against it.
All right. Well, can I get you to read for us?
Sure. There's a moment in the book when she's reflecting on how she came to create Still Life with Breadcrumbs, the morning when she did it, when her son was still asleep. At dawn, a thin needle of sunlight through the living room window woke her even before Benjamin was screaming to be set free, and she had picked up her new Hasselblad, a gift from her father, and started to take pictures. She never really knew why. Why that? Why then? The truth was, she never had known, before or after. Talking about art requires artists to sound purposeful and sure of themselves, but she'd never felt that way. Over the years, she'd made up a lot of reasons because people didn't seem to like the arbitrariness of the reality. They also didn't believe that she'd simply photographed what was already there, a bottle lying on its side with a puddle of olive oil shimmering along its curved lip, a handful of greasy forks glistening in the overhead lights, and of course, what was later called Still Life with Breadcrumbs, a vaguely Flemish composition of dirty wine glasses, stacked plates, the torn ends of two baguettes, and a dish towel singed at one corner by the gas stove.
Anna Quinlan reading from her new novel, Still Life with Breadcrumbs. She's going to be in town next month. You can go to her website to find out the details. The other thing you do, of course, in that moment is frame another problem for artists, which is to have their careers framed by the critics and be stuck with a career that they've given you or, I guess a point of view that they've given you.
Well, I mean, the odd thing is that you don't think that you're stuck with it. Critics say certain things about your work and why you do what you do and how it works. And I suppose there are people who take it deeply to heart. But I think for most of us, there's a little bit of this feeling of, really? That's what I meant? I mean, it's so interesting to me to get some sense, although I don't read reviews anymore, but in the past, to get this sense of people having this very clear handle on why I do what I do. And my immediate reaction being, boy, that never occurred to me before. So at the same time that they have considerable influence, which I know in part because my closest friend is a book critic, they're doing what they do and you're doing what you do sometimes aware of your impulse, sometimes unaware of it and just acting out of some subconscious or unconscious compass that people decide on afterwards.
It's why I wish I was a cartoonist, because my favorite part in the author interview is when I tell the author what they wrote and then imagine kind of what they're thinking. That would be the bubble, and then hear what they're saying, which is, so that's an interesting point, Frank, as they're thinking, what on earth is he talking about? That isn't in my book.
But the one The one thing I would say, Frank, is that when you write a novel, because you're so completely in the weeds with it, it's really interesting to hear what readers say about it. Because sometimes it's something that hasn't occurred to you, and sometimes it's something that you realize was there, but you hadn't quite apprehended.
Well, and I think that's the beauty. And again, I think a little bit of what you capture in this book, if I may tell you what you wrote, which is to say that if you're really doing art, there's a lot of ambiguity and complexity that emerges far long after the fact. And so the only horror is to be trapped into a, you know, sort of this was a feminist work of art and you've become forever a feminist artist, when in fact it was so much more than that, and perhaps in some ways less. I mean, it might just be I didn't have fruit, you know, and that's why I did dish towels and baguettes.
Or my husband refuses to clean up the kitchen after dinner parties, and I was so tired from cooking that I fell asleep on the couch, which is the case with her. But it is really interesting to get that kind of reader perspective, because sometimes it tells you things about your own work that you hadn't considered. And I also think if you're writing or painting or taking photographs, the moment you send that thing out into the world, it has ceased to matter what your intent was. What really matters is what people see or read or hear.
Has it ever changed your, and you say you don't read the critics now, but certainly people talk to you about your books, they give you these reflections you hadn't considered. Does it change things for you or make you a different writer the next time you sit down at the keyboard for the next book? You think about things you hadn't thought about before because somebody pointed you to something in your own work.
You know, the only time I can consciously remember that happening was after my first novel. It was reviewed by the wonderful novelist Ann Tyler in the Sunday Book Review. And in a way that wasn't true in the years afterwards, when the novel started to get some traction and some success and therefore some skepticism, she was very teacherly and kind, but specific about what she thought were some of the shortcomings, despite the fact that it was quite a good review. And what she said about how I'd used backstory not only made me better at it in the books to come, but I think influenced the decisions I made in this most recent book about separating the backstory from the front action of the book.
Can I get you to read once more?
Sure. Let's see.
Talking to Anna Quindlen. Her new novel is Still Life with Breadcrumbs. She's going to be at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh on the 5th and at Flyleaf in Chapel Hill on the 6th, and is with us today on The State of Things.
Oh, this is when Rebecca's thinking about the new set of photographs she's doing, of these crosses that she's found planted in the earth throughout the area behind her cabin. And she says, when she was asked about what she was working on, she was vague. There was nothing she could say about the cross photographs that could come close to actually seeing them. Only one moment surprised her, when a young woman in a clutch of young people, an art class assigned to the event, after all these years she could spot them without trying, asked earnestly, "Could you tell us the secret to your success?" It had the feel of a rehearsed question, as though the young woman had said it over and over to herself on the subway train on the way to the hotel. Rebecca's answer was completely unrehearsed. "The secret is that there is no secret," she replied. "That's true of almost everything, in my opinion. Everything is accidental."
Still Life with Breadcrumbs is Anna Quindlen's 7th novel. She's going to be in the area in North Carolina next month. I got so carried away with the creative process, we didn't really talk too much about the plot, but you talked, Rebecca does go to the woods when her career is sort of beginning to fall apart a little bit, and she's making less and less money. And then she finds these artifacts. Describe those and how that in some ways revives her career.
She's out in the woods and she suddenly finds these white wooden crosses, very, very haphazardly put together. But at the bottom of each of them is an item, a blue ribbon, a photograph, a sports trophy of the sort that you get in high school. And she's been firing off pictures of a whole lot of things, and none of them have really been working. But when she takes pictures of these crosses with these items at the bottom, they jump off the page. But she's also forced eventually, when she gets to the sixth and seventh and eighth one, to ask herself a question that she's never really asked herself about her work before. Why are these here? What do they mean outside of my photographs? And it leads her to ask herself some questions about her work, about herself, about how she's lived in the world, that I think are transformative.
The novel deals a lot with aging and issues that women in particular face in the middle stages of their lives and careers. You also wrote extensively on this subject in your recent memoir, Plenty of Candles, Lots of Cake. Is Still Life with Breadcrumbs a kind of the fictionalized version of that memoir in some ways?
No, I don't think so, but I do think it's an interesting issue. Actually, I'd written about it before in a novel called Blessings, in which my protagonist is in her 80s. And one of the things I realized as I was working on that is that when you're writing about a woman in her 20s, that's what you have to work with. When you're writing about a woman in her 60s or 80s, you have within her, like one of those Russian nesting dolls, a little girl, a young woman, a young mother, a middle-aged woman, and a woman in the later years of her life. And that gives you a richness in terms of the material that for a novelist is just fantastic.
All of this wonderful conversation, Anna, I've enjoyed it so much. We didn't even get to talk about the fact that, as you mentioned, it's also a love story. Wonderful book.
It is a love story.
All of that. Anna Quinlan, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist for the New York Times, best-selling author. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you, Frank. Pleasure to be here.
Her latest novel is Still Life with Breadcrumbs. She's going to read from the novel at Quail Ridge Books in Raleigh November 5th, Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill November 6th. If you didn't get it, as always, you can go to our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Hadi Mawagdi, and Will Michaels. Our intern is Alex Curley. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. And North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.